Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news, episode number 215 for March 4th, 2019. If you have not had a chance to take a look at today's report, it's number 284. You should be seeing it on your screen while I'm talking right now. But if you would like to get a copy of this for yourself, just go to timingresearch.com/reports, and you can get access to either the web or the PDF version there. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 1 p.m. Eastern time, but you can also listen to the audio-only version, podcast version of all episodes now on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. Just search for Timing Research and subscribe there. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of Timing Research, and I have John Thomas back to moderate today. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to John.
Well, hello, everyone. This is John Thomas, the Mad Hedge Fund Trader here today, and I am joined with quite an illustrious crowd of traders today. I have Norman Hallett of the DisciplineTrader.com. Shut off my news alerts. We have Tim Rossette of eMiniMind.com, Fausto Pugliese of Cyber Trading University, Simon Klein of TradeSmartForex.com, and of course myself, John Thomas, the Mad Hedge Fund Trader. And let's start with a brief round of introductions. Norman, tell us what's going on and tell us about you for about 30 seconds.
Well, thank you, John. Thanks for having me again. My name is Norman Hallett. I'm known as the Disciplined Trader because my emphasis with my students are on the mental and emotional issues of trading, the most ignored area in the universe of trading. I also now am an advocate of good posture. I have my strap here. I don't know if you noticed this, but it's on the back because I'm going like this all the time, the computer. So I'm going to have my insignia on here. Maybe I'll sell these online or give them to my best customers because your posture is the beginning of your total health. So thanks for being here, but I'm all about the mental and emotional issues. Although I do trade, and we'll be talking about some technical things today too.
Yeah, and by the way, I highly recommend Norman's work because the mental side is everything if you are a trader. And by the way, that thing you're wearing, Norman, in Japan, women wear those when they're nursing children to get their sleeves out of the way.
No wonder my breasts are full with love today.
They look great from here. What can I say? Okay, Tim Rossette of eMini Mind. I'm using the French pronunciation. I hope that's right.
Yeah, that's correct.
Tell us
John.
About yourself.
So I am primarily a futures trader. Originally, I got my start down in the Board of Trade. I primarily trade the E-mini S&P, and I also place a strong emphasis on the mental side of trading and mental and technical as well. So I don't have a fancy strap like John, but I do sit on a exercise ball to help my posture during the day.
You know, I get a sore back after using those, but yeah. It has other benefits, I should say.
Yeah.
Okay. Next, we have Fausto Pugliese or Pugliese in Italian of CyberTradingUniversity.com. Tell us about yourself, Fausto.
Well, something that me and Norman have something in common. We got the same color shirt. Okay. So I don't know if that starts, but other than that, I am an actual day trader and been doing this for about 25 years. One of the original Sills Bandits, teach people how to trade today's volatile markets. Like days like today, market being down about 400 points. And I run a professional trading room, started the original one over 20 years ago. And we just basically teach people around the world that focus want to take matters in their own hands. And that's basically what I'm here to do and talk about.
Okay, and I've known Fausto for a long time myself. Simon Klein of TradeSmartForex.com. Want to give us your two bits worth?
Okay, I put my screen on. So I'm not dressing like that now. That's the advantage of not showing yourself on camera when you...
Yeah, that's your customer view.
That was done when I was...
Customer look.
The formal look, yeah. So I've been trading for many years now, probably close to 15 years. And I started out my life out of university after doing a degree in computer science, working for Credit Suisse in both London and New York. Then I was kind of offered a job. I met a guy in the gym and I was working originally on the computer side of things. And then I met a person in the gym and he offered me a job working on the trading floor. So I moved over, spoke to my boss, said, okay, trading floor is where the action is. So I moved to the trading floor and then I moved to New York after that. And again, it's a long story what happened after that, but I started trading, did my Series 7, and then people approached me to start training them. So that's what I started doing, and eventually TradeSmart was born, and it's been growing ever since. Originally, I didn't have a website. It was just word of mouth. I train people literally all over the world from all walks of life, and then I put a website up a number of years ago, and we train people. Our approach is market-based. Learn how to read the markets first. Watch the markets, and then you'll see things, patterns happening once you've got a framework for reading the market that are occurring again and again. You can develop a strategy around that. That puts the odds in your favor. So we teach how to do that, how to develop your own strategy based on reading the market.
Okay. Well,
that's the business side of it.
That's great. We get into more of that in a second. And finally, I'm John Thomas, the Mad Hedge Fund Trader. I'm old as dirt, been trading the market for about 50 years. I'm global, long, short, macro, which is long and short everything there is, basically. And why they call me Mad, I have no idea whatsoever, but that's what I've been called for most of my life. And just one last market check before we get started. Dow down 410, bonds up a full point, and Apple is in a free fall. Great. So anyway, first question of the day. Which direction do you think the S&P index will move this coming Monday's open to the Friday close, March 4th to the 8th, and rate your confidence to that answer with a probability estimate. And when everybody's had their say, I'll give what the crowd said. So let's start with Norman. Give us the psychological aspect to all this.
Not sure there's much of a psychological. I think you kind of go crazy of figuring this out. But we're in a. I'll show the chart when we do our justification for this. But my opinion is that this is going to be a choppy week, a rough week. The market looks higher from a technical standpoint, but today's action is could pretend a negative. It's important to see what happens on the close today, because many days we've many times like this, especially on Mondays, we seem to have a lot of energy generated, and then by the time the day is over, you're unchanged to positive on the day. So I think today is going to be kind of lead the way to the rest of the week. But if I had to guess right now for the rest of the week, I say we're going to see some topping action. I'm going to call it sideways action, meaning that Friday should end up somewhere 30, 40 S&P points one way or the other from here.
Right. Okay. Tim, you want to tell us what it looks like from Arizona?
Yeah. So interestingly, the last time I was on, it was about beginning of October, and kind of in a similar situation with the market sort of topping out, as Norman said here. And my bias for the week, given that we've broken down below the swing low from last week, that's really the first time we've had that break of a swing low in the last couple of months. So my bias is down for the week, and I would have to say my confidence in that would be about 80%.
Okay, that sounds highly confident. Okay, next, Fausto, what does it look like from Long Island, I guess, where you are?
Well, looking at what the market's been doing, I mean, we've been having a really big rally lately. I mean, we had the Christmas crash. We're testing some major resistance levels right around these prices. I mean, it's not a really good sign when you're trading at the lows of the middle of the day around 1 o'clock. So usually that's actually a negative sign. I've been hearing I have a couple of bond friend traders I know in bonds, and they're not too excited about exactly what's going on with bonds. So we might, you might see some profit taken off the table, and have to see, as long as this deal with China comes through, we'll be okay. But probably at the end of the week, I think we're going to probably hover around here, maybe a little bit longer, a little lower. So I'm probably about maybe like 60% negative.
Right. Okay. 60% negative. Simon Klein at TradeSmartForex.com. What have you got to say?
Hi. Well, based on the price action today, very similar to what Tim said, we've broken below kind of a pivot low, a swing low on the daily chart. So that was my sign to go short. So I'm more short bias at the moment. And I would say confidence probably about 70%.
Okay, a man of his word. Okay, and I'll give my 2 cents worth. John Thomas here at Mad Hedge Fund Trader. I think the market is extremely overbought. It's basically risen on a promise of a trying to trade deal, which gets pushed farther out and out all the time. On top of that, you've had an anomaly in that both bonds and stocks have been rising at the same time. That's impossible. Only happens for short periods, and bonds usually are right. That's because bond firms usually have 10 times the resources that stock firms do. So bonds are finally selling off big time, and it looks like stocks are going to go with them. How far this goes, you know, we might get a pop on an actual China trade deal instead of the promise of one, which we've been working with for a year. So I would say 90% down this week. I wish we'd had this 2 hours earlier. All my promises would have been fulfilled already. But yeah, this market's been cruising for a bruising for a couple of weeks now, and now it's time to pay the piper. How about that for some mixed metaphors? So down for John Thomas. And let's go on to the next question, which is, give us the logic for your reasoning. What technicals you look at, what fundamentals you look at, and then I'll read off what the crowd come back with after everyone gave their answer. So let's start with Tim Rossett of eMiniMine.
So what I'm looking at, similar to what Simon mentioned about kind of the daily structure of the market and the basic premise of, you know, we've been in this very tight channel moving up in all across the board from the ES to the Dow, NASDAQ, Russell. And so in a very tight channel, and when the market's continuing to not be able to break any sort of swing low, you know, I think you mentioned, John, we've had a couple of Mondays where we've either gapped down a little bit or made a couple of days of a pullback and then immediately just rallied right again. But when I see the market gapping up at highs, that's typically a sign of more of an exhaustive move as opposed to a market that might be gapping up down at lows. That's more of a move that I would want to buy and be looking at sort of the start of a new trend. So today, seeing the gap up at the open and then the slide down below the low of last week on the 27th, that short-term swing low, that's really the first time we've seen that sort of bearish engulfing or breakdown of a swing low at the same time where the market has gapped up at the open. So change in sort of the feel and the dynamic from the last couple of months is what kind of leads me towards shift in market direction.
Right. It really does have the feeling of a capitulation top today, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Simon of TradeSmartForex.com. What does it look like to you?
Pretty much the same as what Tim said. So let me share with you my screen. You guys can see it. So if we start basically on the monthly chart, which is kind of, I always start top down, we actually went slightly above this level, slightly. And sometimes a lot of moves happen in the opposite direction when we just go slightly above the level and then snap back. So we're at this kind of supply level here on the monthly chart where we actually had our original drop. And if we go down again to the weekly chart, you can see we're at the top also of this level. And this is the key point, the daily chart, we're in this daily supply level, and we've kind of been going sideways in this zone and pushed up. And as Tim said, we gapped up today and we've sold off. Now, the cue for going on the short side intraday was a break below this swing low, this area over here. We said in our trading room earlier, below here, we want to be on the sell side. And that's basically would be the play today. Now, depending on how we close the week, since we've gone below this daily swing low here and this one, then we're starting to look a bit more bearish that week. This could be the start of a move down, potentially.
Yeah, Simon, also looking at that chart there, that is a classic outside day, as they call it. Higher high followed by a lower low is usually the beginning of a major trend reversal. So unless we get a monster rally by the end of the day, this thing is screaming sell, at least for the short term. Okay, how about Fausto? You want to join in?
Yeah, so anyway, I would probably say same thing. I mean, the S&P has been testing some major, major resistance levels going back from like November, October, even March of last year. June of last year. So this is a really pivotal point that it's got to break it. And, you know, last time, I mean, if it breaks this, it's definitely going to get, it's going to go to past 2900, but it's at a really hard resistance level up in the past year. So if, we got to see if it breaks it. And as of right now, I mean, we had such a rally. If you look at it, it went from 2400 to 2800 in less than 2 months. That's a huge run up right there. So you might get some profit taking off. But if it does hold here for I would say 5 days, I would say we're going to be positive. I mean, we're always going to get a correction somewhere. Always going to profit taking. But if it does hold here, like I said, for the next 2-3 days, I would say it's going to be a positive move for next week.
Okay. And Norman, bringing up the tail, what have you got for us here?
Okay. As you see on this chart, this is what Simon and Fausto just talked about. This is a huge resistance. This is, I believe, October, November, December highs. I can't see them down here, but I believe these hit these highs, October, November, December. We had the big fall and then the huge rally that Fausto mentioned. And now we're right up against today's higher open, gap open. And tried to challenge this with some power, but failed. This particular snapshot of the market was taken about an hour ago. This red candle now, of course, as Simon just showed us below, is now engulfed this entire candle. This I look for two closes below this particular short-term exponential moving average, which I won't reveal what it is. My students know what it is. But this particular one, you notice that there have not been two closes below this line on the entire way up. If we see that, then I would be moving short strongly on this. But I think the close today, the close, and then the weekly close, those two numbers will tell us a lot about the upcoming weeks and at least the first couple of weeks of March.
Okay. And finally, I'll jump in here. And, you know, if you were lucky enough to get in on the long side at the Christmas Eve massacre, 1 week after the Christmas Eve massacre, really any time the first half of January, you would be insane not to take profits here. Even if you're bullish, you should be taking half of your profits here. Market's way overextended on the buy side here. And the question now is, if you look at the long-term charts, are we setting up a head and shoulders top for the entire bull market, the entire 10-year bull market, or are we at risk of putting in a double top? And the really amazing thing for analysts has been that this 4,000 point rise has happened in the face of very rapidly deteriorating fundamentals in the market. You know, a year ago, the market was trading at 20 times multiple on a 26% earnings growth forecast. Today, we're trading at an 18 times multiple with a zero earnings forecast. So we're far more overvalued than we were just a year ago. So combination of fundamentals, technicals, all adds up to a big fat sell to me, especially if you've already locked in a really great year, which certainly all of our followers have. Okay, with that said, let's go on to the next question. What procedures do you use for trade management, i.e. position size, stops, scaling in or out, or any other bells and whistles that your trading system may have? And I will start with Simon Klein.
All of those things that you just mentioned. Position sizing, scaling in, scaling out, managing risk. So basically, sometimes I'll go into a trade with a half position size, with a half a full risk. And then as it starts to prove itself, I might add more to it. And as it starts to go in my favor, add more. So that's increasing your position size as the trade proves itself. And whereas if you get into a trade and it immediately stops you out, then you're only at a half risk. So I do that. So basically, the main part is position sizing and using stop losses. But putting stops in places where they should go, not just to manage risk. A stop needs to be put in a place where if the stop is hit, it means your original trading idea is no longer valid and you need to get out.
Right. Well, that makes a ton of sense to me. Okay, Norman, so much of this is psychology. Talk to us about position size, stop, scaling in or out, and so on.
Well, it's interesting you say that because I wrote a paper recently on seven different ways to put your stops in, and none of it really there's no perfect way for everybody at every time. I think that stops. Heard a woman, Hema, I know you know Hema, she talked recently about her father told her to place her stops before she places her actual trade so that her confidence level goes up and her anxiety level goes down. And I thought that was very interesting. I'd never heard that, but placing stops, you can't do it to control for the purpose of controlling your emotions, but you should analyze all the different ways to responsibly place stops so that you can choose the right way that works for you. It's kind of like placing stops is an interesting thing. And I've been working on a new project, a simple trading plan of the month club. I'm making a club where I'll be delivering a simple trading plan every month. And the thing is that you want, it's like hitting 16s in blackjack. You either hit 16s all the time or you don't hit 16s all the time. There's no in between. If you're sitting there with a 16 and you're deciding, whenever somebody's sitting next to me and they have a 16 against a 10 or, and they're looking and they're wondering whether to hit, I know that I got to move tables because this person has not decided one of the most important things, when to hit a 16. It's okay never to hit it and it's okay to always hit it, but going back and forth is not the way to do it. And I feel the same way about stops. So analyze all the ways to protect yourself and choose one that fits you responsibly.
Norman, you're supposed to be counting the cards, and that way you always know whether to hit a 16 or not.
Well, you always hit a 16.
Yeah.
16 against the 10.
Yeah, that's how I worked my way through college. And I did it in the days where if they caught you counting cards, they would take you out in a parking lot and break your hands with a hammer. So that goes back to the Rat Pack days. Fausto, you want to join in on this subject?
Yeah, so usually when we day trade, the most important thing we focus on is actually the tradable, non-tradable theory. You got to find out what the momentum of the stock is. Because you don't make any money until you sell it, right? So what happens when you get into a position, we always focus on, if we're wrong, what is it going to cost us to get out of it? So with that, you got to make sure you have good spreads and so on. And then what we mainly focus on by seeing what the momentum of the stock is, then we'll focus on that volatility of it because we really focus on making on that day pay. And then we'll work on position size. So if the stock has a very high momentum and extreme heavy volatility, we won't scale in and trade a large position. If the stock has a very good momentum and a very a high volatility but a very low momentum, then the position size would be a lot higher on the position. That is like one of the biggest things. So I always tell everybody before you get into a position, or anything, I always look at it where you didn't make any money until you sell it. So always look how much money you could lose, because if you're wrong, that's where the cost comes in. And those are the three factors we work on.
Right. And, I would have to agree with a lot that you said. When I look at a new trade, I say to myself, how much am I willing to spend on this trade? Okay, how much am I willing to pay to get into this position? And if I think, well, maybe I'll make $2,500 if it works, I'm willing to spend $500 on that position. I'll look at the charts, find out where a $500 loss would equate to, and then set up my position right there. That way, if we go to hit the stop loss, it's done automatically. No thought is put into it. No hoping. I hold it on one more day, it'll bounce, none of that BS. I just automatically trigger my stop loss because I know 90% of the time the next trade is going to be a winner anyway. So, looking at my own customers for the last 12 years, I would say failure to execute a stop loss discipline is the biggest source of losses. And, all traders have losses. You define a trader on how he manages his losses, not how he manages his wins, because winning is easy. Anybody can take a win, but taking a loss takes a grown-up to do that. Suffice to say, if you lose all your money on a bad stop loss, then you won't have any money to take advantage of the next winner. So please execute stop loss discipline. Another big problem I see that people have is betting the ranch on the first trade. They buy a new trade alert service. They think, oh boy, this looks great. Look at this track record. They get a trade alert. They put 100% of their trading capital into the first trade, and then one out of 10 times, 2 out of 10 times, that's the loser for the month. And they lose everything. They get wiped out. What I tell people to do with new services at all times or new strategies of any kind is that you start on paper. You don't spend any money. You do a paper trade. If it works on paper, you use real money, but you only use one contract. That makes money. You'll scale up, and sooner or later, you'll be up to 1,000 contracts a trade like I am. So you want to value your money more than anybody else and more than the market does. So that'll be my own trading tricks. Okay, next question for
you. John, did you skip Tim, or am I?
No, I'm gonna hit him next. Tim, you want to address this issue, which is, can you tell us what procedures you use for trade management regarding position sizes, stop losses, scaling out, or whatever tricks of the trade you have?
Yeah, so a lot of good commentary on that subject. I think a lot of traders like to bounce around, first of all. And so whether it's how they're managing the trade or bouncing around from strategy to strategy, and it's just not a sustainable approach. There's sort of this notion that I think a lot of new traders feel like they have to lose money in order to make money. But as you said, you know, when you're trying something new or you're working through a strategy or you're just working on a strategy that is somebody else's, you know, starting on SIM is a perfect way to develop some confidence in what you're doing, because it allows you to separate the emotional side from the execution side. If you just go straight to live, you're going to be, it's going to be foggy. You're not going to be able to really focus on the execution. So some of the things that I like to do that help me keep a consistent basis through all of my trades. So for example, day trading, if I'm trading the futures markets, I'm an all-in kind of guy as opposed to scaling in. So I'm an all-in scale out. So I'll put on a position. I try to keep about the same size for every position because I'm, you know, under the impression that anything can happen. And I've had trades come down, you know, one tick away from my stop and then turn around into nice winners. But what I like to do is have, you know, various exit points. So if I'm trading the E-mini S&P, I might have, you know, I like to start with a smaller profit target somewhere around 2 points and just take a third of the position off at that point. And then I'll have, you know, I might break up the remaining position into two different stop placements. So I might trail a third of the position with an aggressive stop if the market's selling off and I'm short. And then I might keep the last third of the position with a little bit more of a conservative stop so that I can stay in the trade longer and I don't have to keep getting out of the trade and then putting on a new trade, opening up new risk, you know, risking a full stop out again if I'm already in a trade. Yes, my size is going to be a little bit smaller because I've scaled out along the way, but I've also decreased my risk and I end up staying in the winning trades longer, and then they end up being, you know, larger winners. I may have fewer trades, but it ends up improving, I found, my P&L over the years. So that's kind of my take on how I get in trades and then manage them on the way out.
Okay, sounds like excellent advice. I can see I'm getting text messages from my own customers saying, what do I do now? Okay, question number 6 is, why don't you give us sort of an overview on what you think is important to watch right now in the market? Any other comments you might have? And Norman, I'll start with you.
Okay, let me share this particular screen with you. Can you see this copper screen? Hang on one second.
Right.
I'm sorry. Yeah. All right. This what you're looking at, it's not copper. This is a market that I talked about in past weeks. See what happens when, of course, the last third of this didn't exist when you're analyzing this, but you're seeing a flag or a wedge, whatever you want to call it, a triangle. Generally, this particular kind of a formation, especially coming down from higher levels as it did, is usually a positive, something that's usually positive. And I don't take the subtlety break if it breaks down, but it often seems to, and this is from memory because you're spending so much time waiting for this to develop, but this, as this market goes, this market broke low lower. And then it gets everybody to get short, and then boom, it comes out and does what it probably should have done in the beginning. This particular, I don't know what it's called or why it does it, but this particular action is very common, I find. And now I want to show you a market that I'm watching right now that, hang on one second, let me share this with you. This is the market that I'm watching that has a very similar, let's see, I'm sorry. There are no sorries in trading. Are you seeing the soy chart now?
Yeah.
Yes, okay, here's the soy chart. I'm sorry. There are no sorries, but I'm sorry again. Here's the soy chart, and you can see it's not dissimilar to what you just saw. The flat top, really, this particular, is it a flag or a triangle? What do they call this? This is a triangle. I call it a triangle, but I'm looking for this market to break higher. All the news is bad when it comes to China and the soybean market. They're our biggest buyer of soybeans, and Brazil is very competitive with us here. But this particular market has been down for a very long time, and you can see here how it tried to break down the last couple of trading sessions. I'm expecting this market, it may or may not, I would not take short trades here, but I would look for this a similar kind of action where you suck people into the downside and then you can explode to the upside. Now, John, I don't know if this is the way we used to do it 20 years ago, 30 years ago. We used to measure we used to take a protractor when we did it on paper. And measure the length of this accumulation and then just flip it from east, west to north, south. So if that's the case, you know, this market would go to 14, 15, 16 bucks. I don't know that it's going something like that, but there's plenty of soybeans around. But this long-term formation, this is from August of last year. So I'd be watching this market now that we're getting thin in the channel in the front of this triangle. Now that we've seen a break to the downside, sucked in some short positions, I think we could go much higher if we break over that the upper band here. So that's the trade I would be watching for the middle term right now.
Also, by the way, we've been using soybeans as a predictor of the probability of a China trade deal. And if you look at this chart down here, we hit a bottom in September. And since then, the administration has been continuously leaking about success. You've got this modest uptrend in soybeans. And my guess is when they do the actually deal, you'll get a big spike up and then it'll collapse because we're looking at 2 years of inventory in soybeans now. All the soybean storage in the United States is full. There's millions of tons sitting out under tarps, rotting away. If they don't do a China trade deal soon, you'll have to write off a big chunk of American agriculture. So
yeah. Also, there's a big seasonal that happens, starts right around now on the upside. So as you say, John, there may be two big trades here: big move up and then a collapse. So
yeah, right.
A couple of good opportunities coming.
Tim, you want to address the issue at hand?
Yeah, so some of the things that I look at, I'll look at patterns of the chart themselves, but one of the more important things that I like to take into account are some of the patterns that I'm seeing throughout the week. You know, how quickly does the market react to news or not react to news? I'm mostly trading the E-mini S&P. And so there's weeks where, you know, when the market is slow to get going throughout the day, you know, I'll take that into consideration and try and be a little bit slower to put on trades throughout the day and, try and catch and use sort of the first 30 minutes of the day as sort of a guide as to, you know, where we might go. If the first 30 minutes is one giant candle and we don't really get out of that first 30 minutes in the next hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, you know, using that as my reference point each day is a good way to kind of create some consistency throughout a market that's going to be up, down, all around at different times. So if I see the market opening and the first 30 minute candle is very, very small, then there's a much better chance that we'll be able to break out above or below that candle and turn into more of a trend Monday. So using, looking at some of the you know, characteristics of the market that I'm trading tend to be just as important as, you know, what's the candle pattern in the daily chart? Are we forming a triangle? Are we forming a bull flag? And those sort of more technical indicators. I also like to look at the relationship of the volatility index to the S&P. And if the S&P is breaking down, I want to see that the VIX is actually breaking out, breaking up, and breaking the corresponding swing high as the S&P is breaking a corresponding swing low. So those are some of the things that I look at.
Okay, Fausto, we know you look at it from the psychological point of view. Tell us what else we have to look at.
Well, you know, as a day trader, you know, we always look at it as what's happening over the course of the day. So realistically, I mean, as a long term, you know, I also do some swing trading. So I am looking at the jobs reports. I'm focusing on we're still having a good economy. Make sure the whole China-US deal goes through. I think that's going to have a lot to do with it. But listen, your trend is your friend. You don't buck the trend. So the main thing that I kind of focus on is I'll keep an eye on what's happening, the big percentage gainers and losers. As long as we see there's a lot of job growth going on, there's obviously things going to be popping up there. But overall, you know, as a long-term trader looking at it, I mean, short-term, everything looks great, you know, as trends goes. But, you know, as long-term, I'll just be concerned about those three things. But, you know, just stick with the trend. As a day trader, so it's a little bit different of a mentality, you know, strictly just focusing on the high frequency trades and all the orders out there that are moving. But as a swing, I would probably, you know, focus on those reports. That's about it.
Okay, Simon, any kind of trading secrets you're willing to impart to us at this time?
Focus on learning how to read a market based on building a simple framework based on, that's what I do, based on supply and demand, price direction, and pivot analysis, trend analysis on multiple time frames. Once you have that framework in place, you can read and understand any market and then use that to help you find high probability trading opportunities. And again, you need to know where supply and demand is in the market to understand where to put your stop and where to place your targets as well. And you have to understand whether you're in a trending market, whether you're going to let the trade run as opposed to a sideways choppy market. So you need to understand what market you're in. You can only do that by reading the market. So if you start with reading the market first and then build a strategy on that background, you'll be much more, the odds of you becoming a successful trader are much greater than if you focus more on a strategy, in my opinion.
Right. George Soros was always big on supply and demand. He was one of the first investors in my hedge fund. He told me that, you can have the best fundamentals in the world for a stock, but if there ain't no buyers, it isn't going to go up. So watching flow of funds is extremely important. And right now, as high as the market looks, still a lot of cash around because so many people flushed out at the market bottom in December. As for my own overview, we use a combination of technicals for the short term and fundamentals for the long term. You know, the shorter the time frame you look at the market, the greater the weight that technical analysis has. And even most fundamentally driven institutions will have a trading desk where they use primarily technical analysis to time their short-term buys and sells. Long-term, everything is driven by fundamentals. You have a growing economy, stocks go up. You have a shrinking economy, stocks go down. Stocks can front run either move by 6 to 12 months. It really is that simple. So as much as people like to focus on technical analysis, it's largely been taken over by algorithms these days. And whereas algorithms are at a much greater disadvantage when it comes to the fundamentals. Ask any algorithm what their GDP view is for 2022, and none will be a player in that market. So I have what the crowd responded with here on whether we're going higher or lower this week. And I'll read you some of the answers because some of them are quite interesting, and you're never too old to learn something new about this market. So the higher respondent answers said that there's a trend with room to go to a year-to-date high based on new year highs and a trade deal with China, continuation of the trend. We are still in the best seasonal six months of the year, the, you know, buy in November, sell in May trend. We could be hitting a quadruple top or not. There is no such thing as a quadruple top. It means we're going to break out to a new high before we turn. There's a March effect. The economy is good. Friday's market close in upward direction. And here's the most honest answer of all. I have no idea. And the final one, China-U.S. deal is on. For the lower respondents, this is what they said. S&P 500 is near a rolling over point. Market is way overvalued. Major resistance. Pullback is due. Too much bullishness. Market needs to consolidate. Elliott wave sell signals. Earnings season is winding down. Washington problems. Game up. Now time to retrace. And all buying climaxes end, don't they? Okay. Anyone else have any other general comments they want to give us about the market? And just speak up if you have something to say.
Trend is your friend. Don't buck the trend.
Yeah, right. Well, until it's over. So how about this? I'll throw in a bonus question here because we have an extra couple of minutes. What would you say the upside versus downside is on a China trade deal and no China trade deal? How many points will a trade deal give us, and how much downside will a lack of trade deal give us? And Norman, I'll start with you.
Well, I think there's going to be a trade deal, but I think that once, which may have a positive reaction for the first half of the day, whenever it's released, assuming it's released in the morning or in the evening, one evening. But I think that once they look into the particulars of the trade deal, it won't be that big of a trade deal at all, or much of a trade deal at all. Then we go back to looking at certain fundamentals and so on. But I think that disappointment will lead the eyes to looking at other disappointments. And I think where we look, you know, again, I see it as sideways. I'm going to have to see what the market tells me about it. But I don't think, I think we get a deal, but it's not a great deal. You know, it's not a deal that's going to impress anybody 24 hours after it's announced.
Trade deal, what does the market do? No trade deal, what does the market do?
Trade deal, the market goes higher and then moves lower fairly quickly after two or three days. And not no dramatic moves to the downside, but the bloom will be off the rose with the initial move to the upside. No trade deal, we go down hard.
Yeah. Okay, Tim, what's your take on this?
So I'm under the impression that that a trade deal might actually make the market go lower. You know, if you think about it, any deal that is any deal that is made is still in some light going to have the effect of making us worse off than we were before the trade war. So in some respect, I feel like the you know, we're kind of in that buy on rumor, sell on news lift in the markets. And to Norman's point, yeah, initially a trade deal might have the markets moving up, but I think as people digest some of that information, it's not going to be clear sailing from there, whatever kind of deal gets put forth.
Right. Okay. Fausto, what does it look like to you? Give me some up and down point targets.
I mean, you know what? When you're really looking at what's happened, we drove this market up a lot. Why is the market going up that much? It's really jobs, right? I agree with Norman. I don't think it's going to be a great trade deal that much. So I don't think the market's going to go up that much. But if they don't get a trade deal at all, other than just shorting all the China stocks out there, I don't think you're going to get like a crash or anything like that, because the economy here in the United States is still doing great. Companies are beating earnings. There's nothing to do with what's going on in China. You know, I think a lot has to do with the NAFTA. That's the one I'd probably be a little concerned about. But overall of that, I think something's going to come out of it. They're not going to let nothing come out of it. Remember, China has a lot more to lose than we do because we're the buyers, all right? And they're the sellers. So if we're the ones buying everything, so they need us more than we need them. So I really think it's going to be that big of a deal of that much correction that we saw with our little Christmas crash there. You know, I just think that was just a lot of program trading, a lot of profit taking going on, stuff like that. I mean, people still can't explain why that what happened with that Christmas crash as much, but we'll find out sooner or later. But I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal.
Right. Okay. And Simon, up and down points. What are we looking at on a China trade deal here?
I'm just watching the markets, whatever they tell me is happening based on the technicals. I trade what I see happening. The reason why it's happening is less of interest to me. So I can see everything I need from the charts.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, as for myself, I think the Chinese have no great incentive to do a deal with the United States. They're quite happy to wait two more years and negotiate with the next president instead, whoever that may be. And in any case, we are in, you know, in doing a topping process for the entire 10-year bull market. So, yeah, I go with the view we get a short rally on any real deal, and then we drop maybe 1,000 or 2 points, and then essentially go sideways for the rest, possibly for the rest of the year, in a big wide range until we get more fundamental data to digest or more moves on the interest rate front. And it's looking more and more like the next move on rates may be down instead of up. So with the slowing economy, so that's what it looks like to me. So I would be cautious here. I told everybody from the beginning of the year with my service that the easiest money of the year will be made in January, and it's looking more and more like that is the case. Okay, well, we just have a couple minutes left, so everybody give us a minute or so about who you are, how do we find you, what you do, what you offer to customers, and so on. And Norman, we'll go back to you.
Actually, hey, let's let Simon go first. He has a another presentation he has to get
okay.
to immediately.
Hey, so, Simon, you go first.
Oh, that's great. Thanks so much for that. So if you want to know more about what I do, what we do at TradeSmart, you can go to tradesmartforex.com. And as David just said, we have a webinar coming up right now. Let me see. I think it's here in 6 minutes. We're starting. So if you want to go, you can go to my website here and click on this link. And you can join the webinar. It's all about CCI and how to use that to improve your trading results. Again, it's the only indicator I use, if I use any. And also, if you're going to be in New York next week, then you can come to my website, click on here, and you can come. I'm happy to meet you live in New York. I'm talking at the Traders Expo. So that's it. Thanks a lot. It's great to be on the show again. Thanks, David. And thanks, John.
Right here.
And Simon, where are you based?
Sorry?
Where are you based, Simon?
I'm originally from, I guess, London. I lived in New York, and now I'm based in Israel, in Jerusalem.
Israel, okay. Okay, Norman, tell us about yourself.
It's always great to have somebody with a British accent to kind of legitimize everything we're doing here. I love that.
Thanks, Norman.
It upgrades the quality of the whole experience.
That's right. Again, my focus is the mental and emotional issues of traders. TheDisciplinedTrader.com. TheDisciplinedTrader.com. You can get a two-week free look-see. You have access to everything that we do. But we train you with some mental techniques, as well as giving you some ideas of how to handle your trading to best fit your kind of personality. A lot of great trading is self-discovery. I think whenever I get, whenever I'm having a drink with any of the people that you're seeing on the panel here, or whatever, we always seem to talk about how different traders are and the importance of matching who they are with the style and content of their trading. So that's really the first step. And that's one of the things that I'm honored to help you try to do. So thedisciplinedtrader.com, take a look at what we're doing. No risk to you, 14 days free. Thanks for having me, John.
Okay. Tim Rossett of eminimind.com. Tell us about yourself.
Yeah. So like I said, I'm primarily a day trader of the futures markets. I also swing trade stocks, and you can check out everything that I've got going on over at eminimind.com. And I also put out a lot of videos on YouTube. If you just search eMiniMind and you want to kind of get an idea of how I trade, my strategy, and some of the things that I look at each day.
Okay. And Fausto.
Yeah. So just like... you know, like everybody else, I'm a day trader. So I basically, every week I do an open house. I invite all my students to come in to kind of talk a little bit about their success. But been doing this for 25 years, and I'm going to be doing an event that's coming up this Thursday, how to make a full-time income as a part-time trader in any market conditions, long or short. So, you know, some people like the idea. They make their money at the end of the day. They don't have to worry about knowing what's happening at the end of the week or the end of the month or what's happening with the market. So, you know, if you want to get to know a little bit more about the real truth about day trading, how it really works and what you need to get it to work, you know, come and join us for our upcoming event. Like I said, we do it every Thursday, same time at 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And we'll get to show you. Because remember, if you want to be a good swing trader, you want to be a good options trader, you got to know what's happening over the course of the day. So come and check us out.
Okay. And finally, last but not least, I'm John Thomas, the Mad Hedge Fund Trader. You can find me at www.madhedgefundtrader.com. We do long and short positions on stocks, bonds, commodities, precious metals, energy, and real estate. By the way, our number one moneymaker this year has been the bond market, where we've been shorting every 2 or 3 point rally, and it's been working like a charm. We have a daily newsletter, something called Hot Tips, which you can sign up for free by going to my website. We have a technology letter and a daily newsletter, which is Global Macro. Been at the game 50 years. It keeps getting more interesting all the time. You basically have to keep relearning this business 24/7. So thanks for coming today. This is John Thomas, the Mad Hedge Fund Trader, signing off for today. And with that, David, I will hand it back to you.
All right. Thanks, guys. A great show. And we're ending exactly on time here. So that's good. A lot of good discussion and content today. And just a quick reminder to everyone, please be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast directory. You can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to any of the past reports or shows there. And you can join us for the next episode of Analyze Your Trade. That'll be tomorrow, Tuesday afternoon, 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. It'll be March 5th. Matt Buckley, Christian Fromhertz, and Jim Kenny will be on that one. And I just want to thank my guests again for this week, for this episode. Norman Hallett of TheDisciplinedTrader.com, Tim Reset of eMiniMind.com, Fausto Puglisi of CyberTradingUniversity.com, Simon Klein of TradeSmartForex.com, and John Thomas of MadHedgeFundTrader.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.